First pitch coming. Drive to left field deep. Moving back on it is McDonald. Warning track wall. Ball game. Salukis, who win the series.
That was Mike Reese on the call from the itch yesterday. It's 25,000, I believe. Is that the official attendance yesterday? 25,000 strong at Itchy Jones Stadium. Saw Southern take 2 out of 3 from the Illini. The voice of the Salukis joins us on the phone. Mike Reese, welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good to be with you guys. Somebody must have jacked up that crowd microphone or something. Man, that sounded like a dome or something.
Yeah, well, you get a couple of smoke brats out there and some pup tents and all of that, and you can make 1,000 sound like 25,000 out there. 15-5 now after taking 2 out of 3. From the Illini, we mentioned that the Arkansas State game's been moved to Wednesday, then it's off to Indianapolis this weekend. And those games are going to be telling, I think, because Butler, Northwestern, those are names that people know.
Yes, and at the same time, their RPIs are not strong. Northwestern is picked lower than Illinois in the Big Ten, or at least publicly in the same grouping. Didn't receive any votes for the top six, and the Illini only picked a couple. Southern is playing a 250 to 270 ranked schedule at this point of the season, and so that factors into their success too. Having said that, they're a good team, and a good team with a lot of offense. They have pitching they still have to put together. Rhodes has shown the ability in the two-plus the pandemic year that he's been Southern's head coach to get offensive talent. And my goodness, they can score and can hit with power. It's not all home runs, and it's not all home runs or strikeouts, but it's home runs, it's doubles, it's walks, then it's strikeouts. There's a lot of that going on. But the Salukis sure have the ability to drive the ball, and they have, fellas, they have really physical hitters. And by that I mean they have guys that are just trying to drive the ball all of the time. There's even the foul balls are solid contact. And plus physically they look strong too. So, it's an impressive squad, and this year's team is a new team in relation to what he had his first 2 years. It'll be interesting to see in the long haul. I don't think the league is as imposing as it's been the last 5 years, but so I think there are things there that are there for Southern, but at the same time, the starting pitching especially has to improve.
Yeah, it looks like, maybe 9 or 10 of those 15 wins are coming out of relief, right?
Yeah, and Mike Hansel has 4 of those. I think Hansel will eventually be a starter. He was a year ago, and he is just now rounding into form. And Paxton, he has 20 strikeouts in his last 10 innings. He's pitched 5 innings of relief each of his last 2 times out within a week. And he got 10 strikeouts each time, and those are his career best. When you look at Southern's stats, it's befuddling. I know it's befuddling to the coaching staff too, and the pitching coach has coached for 1 million years, Tim Jamison, and he's befuddled by it too. Their strikeout to walk ratio is something like 3 to 1, but opponents have a strong batting average against them. I think it's a 290. And those things just don't jive. It's hard to explain. It's hard to figure out why that could happen. There's probably a number of reasons, but one not obvious, including the fact that they're always throwing strikes. They don't walk very many. They get a lot of strikeouts. They don't get a ton of strikeouts looking, but they get a decent number of them. So they must be around the zone all the time, and if you're around the zone all of the time, then you're obviously hittable.
Yeah, and I would think, Mike, that the way Southern can hit, you know, your pitchers have got to be in a pretty good mindset because you know your guys are going to score some runs.
Yeah. Well, but you eventually have to pitch, Murph. Last year's team was very similar. Last year's team hit 84 home runs, and the previous 3 years combined, one of which was the pandemic year and they played 18 games, they only hit 83 home runs total in those 3 years. So Southern was a strong home run team a year ago, won 40 games, but did not realize the goal of making the NCAA tournament, which has eluded SIU since 1990. So this team is in a similar group, and of course it gives the pitchers confidence. But still to be decided is, of course, how strong will the pitching be, and especially the starting pitching.
Yeah.
And then what will happen when they get into when they start facing the best pitching? Illinois used a pitcher who probably was the best that Southern had seen so far this season on Friday night, and Southern couldn't hit him. And Southern is healthy right now, and so all of the bright guys, the best guys, were in the lineup, and they couldn't hit him. And the adage in baseball is that the good hitting can really just punish average and above average pitching, and the Salukis really punish those teams. If you're in the zone with not a lot of movement, Southern just treats you like batting practice. But very good pitching can stop good hitting. And I think that's what we saw Friday night. And in addition to Southern's pitching, how good will it be, especially when you get to May and postseason tournament play this year at Missouri State also will be key this year, is how Southern fares against very good pitching. And I, and of course, a sidebar there is how much very good to excellent pitching is there in the Missouri Valley Conference. Now, the Valley right now is ranked the fifth best league in the country, and so it should hang there. It fluctuates a little bit historically, 5 and 6. And if you're 5 and 6, then that means each team has one excellent pitcher. But I don't know that there's a pitching staff that totally throws blanks all the time. So it's really going to be intriguing. Southern's team, with so many new players, one of the questions was coming together. And I think they're coming together. I think the Illinois series, which they viewed as a strong rivalry, is a really sort of a starting point for them. And it'll be interesting to see how they play Wednesday and then on into the weekend. Conference play starts at Bradley the following week.
Talking to Voice of the Salukis, Mike Reese. SIU softball, they've been up and down even before Kerry Blaylock stepped aside as head coach for health reasons. But there's continuity there with Jen Sewell and her staff in charge. But 11-12 right now and off to a 1-4 start in the Valley, yeah. And that wasn't in the cards.
Well, you have to have it's one thing to have continuity, but that doesn't guarantee anything, and Sewell had an important role with the club. I think Blaylock had scaled back on a lot of her duties, in part to prep for the time that she hopes that Sewell and thinks Sewell deserves, not just hopes, but thinks Sewell deserves to take over for her on a full-time basis. They have a couple of injuries that are significant, and they haven't spent a whole lot of time talking about them. And that, in addition to the head coach's departure, I don't care if you're an old team or a young team, but that tests the team's leadership. And certainly they couldn't pitch over the weekend when you give up, 28 runs in two softball games. That pitching's not good enough, whether it was windy or not. And then Northern Iowa was very good again on Sunday. So they have some significant questions. That's jarring when the head coach departs. And she was not interested in talking then when she stepped down. And Sewell took over on a interim basis. And I think maybe in time she will talk, but she hasn't been interested in talking right now. And I think it was jarring for her too. No matter how experienced people are and how good of a face they put on it, that's still a jarring move for any club at that point of the season. Having said that, I'm not going to try to claim to everybody that that's the reason why they have less of a record or just got popped this weekend by Northern Iowa. I'm not going to claim to know that. I just know that that can't just be something that's thoroughly dismissed. But Blaylock's decision came at about the same time as they got a couple of other injuries to key players. And those are huge, huge losses.
Yeah, it's not normal, obviously. And
no.
SIU football, they will have a normal spring for the first time in really 3 years. but they're set at quarterback, which is rare to say for Southern. And a lot of the skill positions, by all accounts, probably still a top 10 team. But then also probably no better than fourth in the Missouri Valley if you had to do a preseason poll today. But playoffs and playoff success, that's now an expectation instead of just a wish now for Nick Hill.
Yeah, at the same time, you have to judge the team realistically, and they have significant holes to fill. They're going to count on a lot of transfers on that defensive line. They made a change in coaching on the offensive line, not much talked about, but one of the guys that was with Hill the whole time, Nick would downplay during the season questions about issues on the offensive line. It seemed like Baker, whether he's 5'8 or 6'2, and 5'8, of course, is what he is, it sure seemed like he spent a lot of time running around a little bit, and a lot of time running around, rather. And so questions about the offensive line he tended to dismiss. But you could look at who they recruited, and with a change in the offensive line coaching staff, I think that speaks volumes. And so that's an area that they look to upgrade, and probably an area, especially given the depth that they have at running back and will have again this year, I think offensive line play is key in getting more out of that running back depth than they appeared to get a year ago. And they have a big receiver to replace in Landon Lenore, and they have important 22-year-olds to replace on the defensive side too. Guys that played 5 and 6 years. And so the veterans that they signed to play the defensive line are going to be key players for them this season. And I'm not so sure that it wouldn't be a good idea, no matter how tough Nick Baker is or how durable Nick Baker has been at quarterback, to develop a strong backup. If for no other reason that in 2 years he won't be the quarterback. I think he was hurt 2 years ago, played last season, and Southern dodged a bullet throughout the season that he didn't miss any time. There was a good sized gap between he and the rest of the quarterback. So it'll be interesting to see that position develop, but your expectations are exactly right, Paxton. You expect the program to have depth and to be able to recruit, and because otherwise you're not capitalizing on winning. And so you ought to have guys ready as long as he's been the head coach, and Hill has, to have guys ready to step in. It appears that they do.
Talking with Mike Reese, the voice of the Salukis, a lot of other things at SIU right now that people are talking about around the water cooler at work, and one of those things is, when will SIU or will they get an SIU athletic director?
Well, I think Matt Kupek is the AD until somebody tells him he's not, and somebody tells the rest of us he is not. The only thing I can add to it is my understanding is that he has a contract through the end of March as the interim athletic director. So if they were to hire one, that person wouldn't start until April. Or they would extend him until that person was available to go. But there's as much talk behind the scenes as there appears to be in front of the scenes about that position, and that turns all eyes toward Kupek, who doubles as the head of the SIU Foundation. He's the chief fundraiser. in the group, and he's had the job for a long time, and it would appear that that's where they are headed as he as they have as he gains experience. They had four finalists, I'm drawing a blank on exactly when that date was. They had four finalists for the position and then chose not to hire any of the four, which on the surface is, well, what a waste of money that was. On the other hand, if you don't like anybody that you've interviewed, no matter what you've spent to interview those people, you shouldn't hire that person. Because if your instinct is that that you shouldn't hire any of the people, generally people in these positions who do these hiring, their instincts are to be trusted. And if you don't think that that person's going to work, then you shouldn't hire that person, no matter any short-term blame that you that you take or any short-term grief that you create by doing it that way. So that's really all I know about it. And I think if you're Saluki Athletics fans, coaches, employees, whatever, I think, it's not only is it an important hire, but it's an opportunity for the chancellor, who's also 2 years into the game, to get a person that he knows that he can work with. And whatever the outcome of this, whether it's Matt Kupek or Mike Murphy as the AD.
Well, that let the cat out of that bag right there. Man, I wasn't going to say anything until at the end of the show.
And the cat fought like hell to get out of that bag.
And he's going right back in it.
But the relationship, and we've seen it, we just saw it, but we've seen it throughout, not just at Southern, but everywhere. If the chancellor and the athletic director, the president and the athletic director are not on the same page, it just doesn't work. And there's firsthand knowledge of that at Southern, and I think that has to excite Saluki fans that the current person in charge of the university is going to hire the athletic director. And so that the chancellor should know that he's able to work with he or she, and only good things, no matter what you think of the choice and no matter what you think of the people doing the hiring. The mere fact that that person was hired by the person currently in that position, because there's been so much turnover at Southern that it's hard to keep track of who was hired by who and who's worked for whom. And eventually, when you have issues, it's generally because the people in charge either don't get along or struggle to get along. And I think people should be excited about the fact that anytime that the president hires or a chancellor hires the athletic director, it usually means good things for athletics.
Couple of notes on basketball. One of the things the new AD will be tasked with, more than likely, is hiring SIU women's next basketball coach. This is the Cindy Stein era comes to a close, and it's going to be an important offseason for Brian Mullins and SIU men's basketball, as they need to get on the right track and get back to thinking about postseason basketball with a new and expanding Missouri Valley coming up.
Well, in Mullins' case, it'll be year four. He has a 6-year contract. He signed a 5-year contract. He got an additional year. He got a year back after the first season. And so he essentially had 2 5-year contracts. Either the returning personnel has to improve, or the returning personnel has to be fortified. And as of right now, there's only one scholarship available. Now, I don't think any program in the country right now exactly knows how many scholarships they have.
Yeah.
And while Southern hasn't had the turnover under Mullins that other schools have had, Southern hasn't been oblivious to turnover either. And so it would be silly to think that Southern's only going to add one new player in addition to Cade Horniker, who's the 7-footer from Amarillo, who already has signed. So what they do with whoever they sign, either that player or those players, have to provide relief at the point guard spot and probably at a wing spot, doubling as a post player, but not the traditional stereotypical post player, the modern post player who can, as Mullins is fond of saying, can pass, dribble, and shoot. And in also in that position's case, have some wingspan. Whoever they sign, if they sign an additional player, that and all the signs point toward that, that player is going to be an older player, either a transfer from a four-year school or a JUCO transfer. And I think that JUCO will be a two-year player, not a one-year player. And so, meaning having played 1 or 2 years at the JUCO, I think it'll be a player who's that experienced. And so I would think that's on the wish list. If not, without those, without fortification, it's Southern is one of the older teams, and it's one of the things that Mullins has pointed toward, believing that the way that that he and his assistants can develop and the way they have built the program, that that experience matters. And the Valley is going to take the Valley is going to change significantly in terms of experience. There are going to be a lot more younger teams, and there was such a division in the league a year ago between the top four, sometimes five, and the bottom five in the league, or bottom six sometimes in the league, depending where you put Bradley, that it's going to be available for Southern next year. I don't know that there's a clear favorite. If A.J. Green returns at Northern Iowa, it probably will go there, but there's some questions whether he's going to return. So, in short, I think the Valley's vulnerable next season. Murray is going to be a lot different than Murray is this season, and the other schools that they are adding, there's more unknown than known, and so I think the Valley is not necessarily there for the taking, but Southern will be expected to be a strong contender, whether or not it adds additional players.
Any truth to the rumor that UIC is changing their slogan to just happy to be here? Getting out of the Horizon League. But hey, so, you know, the Valley stays in the Chicago market. They yep. gain a very strong Nashville market in Belmont there, and they've got a program that people know thanks to John Morant in Murray State. So the stakes have been raised there, clearly.
Well, we'll see now who Murray hires. Have they made it official that McMahon is leaving?
Yes.
He has informed his players as of earlier this afternoon, yeah.
Yeah. So now, what do they do? He is a promotion. He was a guy they promoted. They're paying him $300,000 to $350,000, which is $350,000 tops in that conference. I'm pretty confident, but bottom third of the Missouri Valley. Now, what are they going to pay their next guy? And you say, well, Reese, so what? Well, that determines the pool. Believe me. Do they have an assistant? I'm not going to pretend to try to sell you on whether they have. I know whether they have an assistant.
Well,
to take
I'll tell you,
his place.
A lot of people like and think that Casey Long, who ironically was with Will Wade at VCU a few years ago, could take that thing over and continue to recruit at a high level. But we'll see.
Yeah. And their ability to get into the South for the headline players that they've had, that's been their calling card. And so they have the ability to, they've shown the ability to promote. And so that's going to be an interesting hire. Will the league, you know, back to your UIC comment, will the league elevate UIC's boat? It did Loyola's, and Loyola seemed to know how to capitalize on it, and a lot of that had to do with cash. They came into the league very cash heavy, was all of the talk behind the scenes, and they invested, and Porter Moser ended up being a $1 million coach, and they brought in more significant donors than they had, but their early showing in the league was in the Missouri Valley was unimpressive. But yet they figured out a way to make it work. That's what UIC has to do. and take advantage, use the Valley label to elevate them more than they've been able to elevate themselves over the last few years, because they bring no tradition with them into the league. And so Loyola wasn't tradition rich either, but had a little bit more. The Nashville market is the Nashville market, but at the same time, how does that help them get better players to be a factor in the Missouri Valley? And while they're not trying to win in the ACC by jumping from the OVC to the Missouri Valley Conference, it's still a significant enough of a jump to raise the question. And now Murray is less automatic without McMahon, but I can't say that you come in worried about Murray's ability. The only asterisk with Murray, and I guess with Belmont too, and why maybe I don't get this, I personally, for whatever my opinion's worth, I personally don't go, you know, running up and down that the Missouri Valley is automatically a time and a half better, or two times better because they added Murray State, is because Murray has piled up a lot of wins against 250 ranked teams and worse. Now, you know, they did go far this season and they won a million games in a row, but the average Valley team is 150 right now. The average OVC team, the team that Murray's been beating, is 250, and that's a huge difference. The teams that Murray has been playing and beating are the teams that Southern's fans complain about when they're the only ones that play at Banterra Center, when they're the only teams that Southern's able to attract to play home games. These are the teams that Murray's beating all the time. Well, they're not going to play those teams as much anymore, at least for 20 games out of the season in the conference. And so will they be the same? This year's Murray team would have been an upper division Missouri Valley Conference team. I don't think there's any question about that. But I don't think it's as automatic going forward as a lot of people do, just for what my opinion is. Having said that, there's not a thing wrong with adding him. There's not a thing wrong with that option.
Talking to Mike Reese, the voice of the Salukis, and boy, it's going to be a fun baseball season. We'll see about softball. Hope that they bounce back. But then a lot of people are already gearing up for that spring football game. And one thing that we do have is continuity. One thing that we do have that never changes is Mike Reese. And, buddy, I love hearing you call baseball. I don't, you know, I mean, people say, come out to the edge, come out to the hill and have a smoke brush. Yeah, I'd rather sit in the car and listen to Reese. I mean, if you came in here tonight, I was going to say recreate the home run call that you, and then he played it, so you didn't have to do that. But that's, you know, think about that. That's a constant, and that's important to a lot of people, buddy.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and I love it too, and I appreciate that sentiment, Mike. You can drive your car to the hill and watch the game and listen too.
Yeah, but so. People would be pointing at stuff, you know. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, the police, Mike, would be walking by.
How do you know I didn't drive around and try to? How do you know I didn't try to drive around there and get that? Oh, it's almost. I've got to drive in this mud here to get.
Well, the games are free. Admission is free. And I really, it was great atmosphere Saturday and Sunday. Of course, the weather was tremendous, and Saturday was a surprise because there was the general smattering of crowd of a crowd 10 minutes before the game started, and all of a sudden the game started, and there were people everywhere, including students lined up single deep.
Good.
From the end of the first base dugout to the right field corner, and so it was. And it was a knowledgeable fan base too. The things that they yelled and things like that. It was a really fun night. It really was. And I encourage people to come see them. It is entertaining. They are entertaining. They do seriously compete. And we talked about what their shortcomings are. And we'll see if they're able to fix them as the season goes on. But they are fun to watch play because they're always in the game. So it's fun, and I hope a lot of people get to see them, especially weekend games. Valley baseball is, I think a lot of casual fans want to see Southern play good teams. Well, right now there's only four leagues in the country that are ranked higher than the Missouri Valley. And so there will be good teams coming in here to play Southern, and Southern traveling too. So I think it's legitimately worth following this squad and following them in person too when you can at home.
Okay. Arkansas State, again, that game moved to Wednesday night. They're off to Indianapolis this
Wednesday
weekend.
Afternoon,
Wednesday
2:00.
Afternoon. Oh, 2 o'clock. I thought it was 6 o'clock. Okay, so I misread that. So Arkansas State to Wednesday afternoon. They're in Indianapolis this weekend, and then MVC play next weekend, back of the itch versus Bradley. And you'll be calling those games on the couldn't be easier SIU Salukis app.
App, yeah.
A couple of taps, and you got Reese in the palm of your hand right there.
Got Reese in my car with me.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah.
Appreciate you having me on, fellas.
Thank you.
Thanks again. And, again, the voice of the Salukis, Mike Reese, joining us on our season finale of In the Doghouse here on 103.5 ESPN. Thank you, sir.
See you, buddy.